Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight 365 for comics originally released on August 6th, 2014. Now, starting us off in DC is Batwing number 34. Now, this is the last regular issue of the title, really. We've got one more coming with the Future's End issue next month. And so, for all intents and purposes, I was expecting this to kind of end off the series on a nice, clean note, put the character into whatever status quo he was going to kind of get parked in. And I thought this was a really interesting way to end a series.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for everything to be buttoned up too, and it didn't really pay off for me in that regard. It had some good stuff though, but
but it was kind of like a day in the life issue.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like they didn't expect the series to kind of end here. You know, like they had at least another arc to tell, but just didn't get the chance. And given the sales, I'm not surprised they didn't get the chance. I would be amazed if they thought they were going to. Because it was down in the 8300s, you know.
Yeah, it was in single digits, wasn't it? Under 10,000 for a while.
Oh, yeah, since issue 29.
And it's very rare that a non-Vertigo DC will be allowed to stay down there that long without getting canceled, right?
They gave this one a lot of leeway, and I think part of that goes back to when they did the Stealth reboot. And this is one that maybe reboot's not the right word, because it's still, I mean, same continuity, but totally different character. It was a complete retooling of the book. And the more I think about it, and Sam and I talked about this on the July Mail report for the comics, which will probably go up a week or two actually after this episode. But they went from the original Batwing to this character, which Fox is this? This is, blank, Luke Fox. And I think when they switched to Luke, they should have ended Batwing and launched a new title with a new number one under literally a new title, not a new Batwing title. But, you know, after Sam and I talked on that recording, you know, we talked about it there. Flying Fox is the name they should have used. Because, one, Sam was suggesting, well, call him the Fox. It's like, that's a great idea. It's apropos in many respects. Alas, Archie has that name and is using that name on a title right now. However, this is a character that with the jetpack or, you know, whatever in the suit can fly. Flying Fox makes sense. And it's kind of apropos because that's a character that was used back in the Young All-Stars as kind of a Batman replacement.
Yeah, and I think now that DC has... They held out as long as they could, and now they're renumbering New Teen Titans and Suicide Squad and things. So now that they've kind of broken the seal on that and are starting to do that, I think if they had it to do over again, that's exactly what they would have done back when they did the soft reboot.
Batwing number one, or actually go with the direction I'm talking.
Either that, or it would have either been a Batwing number one or a renamed character. It probably would have been a Batwing number one.
I think so, and I think that would have been a mistake because has the taint really of the previous volume.
But at least it's, you know, a reader sees it as this is a new interpretation of that character. If it's a number one, it's more easily swallowed.
But if it's a brand new character, which this was, and you give him a brand new name, and it's a replacement title, but new creative team, new lead character, new name, new everything, that resets the bar at a blank slate versus compared to how it did for the previous volume. I think that would have benefited sales. Would it have benefited sales enough? That I'm not so sure about. But I think...
Could you call it the Flying Bat Fox? Because otherwise, you really got to have that in there.
I would have had it start with, I would have basically, they could have told the exact same stories, but the few tweaks I would have made is when he's first handed the suit, he's like, yeah, but you're Batman, I'm not, we're going to replace that logo with something else. still do the same, you know, stuff for Batman Inc., whatever, but under a different name. Give it a Fox logo there, which would fit, you know. I think that would have set the character apart enough versus, oh, he's just a knockoff Batman. I mean, we get that in this very issue where characters are, hey, you're Batman. Oh, wait, you're not. That, I think, doesn't help the character or the title.
Right.
So I think that would have helped, and it would have allowed them to market it a bit better, because when they relaunched it, they didn't market it well as a relaunch at all, and they should have. All of that having been said as to where the title went wrong, this issue was just a little weird, because some I liked, some I didn't. I mean, I liked how they've got this astrophysicist doing a lecture and acknowledging alien life exists, space travel's possible, there's a multiverse, and I'm like, you know, science in the DC universe has got to be a fairly interesting field, because everything that we think is, well, maybe theoretically possible, they have actual proof of for the most part. You know, genetic engineering, nanobots, artificial intelligence, you name it, they've got it. Which could also make it a kind of scary place to live, I suppose, but interesting nonetheless. There were a few things in here that just came out of the blue and made this feel like it perhaps was a rushed issue. The whole bit with they're in the car, shall we go for ice cream, flip the page, and then just bam, that happens or whatever. I'm like, where did that come from? What's going on for here? It's the kind of thing that I think is overplayed on television, and I've seen it a number of times. And then for it to have virtually no impact other than, well, he should go after those guys. He's a hero. He should have gone after him anyways, even if he wasn't involved. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no reason he couldn't just got a flat tire and been on the side of the road.
Or
it didn't have to happen that way. It didn't really serve the story for them to get knocked over like that.
Yeah, pick something up on a police scanner or something. You know, it felt out of place, overplayed. Because, I mean, what happens here? I guess we'll go ahead and tell it. They get, I guess, sideswiped or whatever by an armored car. It flips their car over, airbags deploy, whatever. But neither Luke nor his young sister Tiffany are injured in any real way. And it's like, that car was pretty badly smashed, yet they're fine. Now, I'll grant maybe that the airbags in the DC universe are way superior to what we may have here. But it just, I don't know, that felt, overplayed and to not really have any real payoff. There was action in this, but it felt not like a typical issue of the title, really. And just a strange ending issue of this. The next issue we're going to get, the Future's End one, takes place 5 years later. We'll see what happens. But I would have liked if this had been less of what felt like a day in the life or a filler issue and really parked the character in whatever position they want his status quo to be in with his title winding down. Give us some indication. Are we going to see him again? Are we not? Is this it? It's all over. Is he going to be part of Batman Inc.? Something.
So I really enjoy the fact that they gave us something to think about the future with Luke's character and Dr. Yeager and the little sister and going forward. So there was something there. Of course, we're not going to see it probably. And so that stuff I enjoyed. But this is it's an okay book, but not enough to be. I can understand why it's not selling that well. It's just okay. 3 for me.
I can see that, too. And, I mean, while the character of Dr. Yeager was interesting, why introduce her in the last issue of a series as essentially a potential love interest or something? It was like it was setting something up that we're never going to see play out. So I was frustrated by that. And to me, this title has been much better than this issue, by and large. I think switching to Luke Fox was a good move. He's an interesting character. I hope we see him some more. But this was just an average issue at best. So 3 out of 5 for me. Shall we move on to our Marvel title?
Yeah.
This is Superior Foes of Spider-Man, number 14. This is the penultimate issue of this title. We got one more. Unlike Batwing, I think the writer here, Nick Spencer, clearly knew that was going to happen. So he basically he starts tying up loose ends and dangling plot lines.
But I don't know if it is penultimate because isn't it solicited? As still not canceled in the Marvel preview?
15 is the last one I have on order. I would have to check my Marvel previews. which I just happen to have in my hands right now, to see if another one is in the most recent Marvel previews, and I am not seeing one. I believe this ends next issue.
That's too bad. I knew it was coming, but I...
And I take that back. There is a Superior Foes of Spider-Man 16 listed here.
Yeah, does the solicit still say still not canceled or something like that?
I was just looking at the back. I'd have to flip through because they put these in a random order, and I'm not sure what page that's on.
Okay.
But that means we're going to have a little bit of a wait because that's going to come out on October. No, I guess not. I guess that's about right. Yep, still not canceled. Gang War Ravages on. Sinister Six versus everyone. So I guess they're just tying up some loose ends so they can start another story arc. That works. It's good because I would hate to see this one go. This is a fun title.
Yeah, it is. And it's just not selling. I'm sure you guys have talked about it on the Mayo report, but it is, what, 15, 16, something like that?
It just dropped below 17,000 with issue 13. It's at 16,009.
Yeah.
It started at 61,413, but people really, I don't think, knew what it was going to be. It lost half of that by the third issue where it was under just over 30,000 and had been steadily falling pretty much ever since.
And it just must be the lack of Superman of Spider-Man being in here. That must have turned enough people off that they didn't stick around for the really fun storytelling style and downright hilarious characters that have been built in this thing. I mean, they've really missed out, the folks that, you know, saw that Spider-Man wasn't going to be involved, so they bailed. That's too bad.
I agree entirely. I think this is a brilliant concept for a series and a really good execution on that concept, because having a title featuring the villains of either, in this case, a particular hero, but, you know, of a particular city would work too, gives you kind of that non-team setup. I mean, imagine like a Batman family title where it's about all the goings on and infighting and whatever shenanigans of the various Batman villains. You know, maybe some of it set at Arkham, some of it set, you know, elsewhere in Gotham. And as villains are needed for the main titles, you could just have them fade out of that title and, you know, focus on other characters because there's so many villains. It gives you a chance to really flesh out those characters, possibly even foreshadow and set up some of the stories going on in other titles. Because, you know, you could have the setup in this title for the villains, then they go off, fight whoever, come back, and you get the aftermath and the ribbing, or, you know, whatever it is. If, you know, are they in Arkham? Did they barely get away, you know, and do more character-based stuff, leaving your other titles to be a bit more plot-focused or focus more on the hero's character. So I think it's a brilliant idea, and we've gotten more information and fleshing out of these couple of villains over this series than most of these characters get in decades. So again, great concept, really good execution, and, you know, with the sales under 17,000, it doesn't have long for this world. It's probably going to go that next story arc, and that's going to be about it, and that's going to be a real shame.
Yeah, I've enjoyed this from the start. There's really only been a couple uneven issues in this run. They've all been really great, very enjoyable, laugh out loud, good stuff in here that really showcases these villain characters. You know, Boomerang's got the lion's share of screen time, but mm-hmm. we get plenty of time with some of these other guys lately. You know, we've had spent some time with Overdrive and Beetle in this issue, and we have been doing a lot with Shocker over the last couple of issues. And like you said, these characters haven't had this much screen time in, you know, dozens of issues of other titles. You know, when you put them together, it's really been fun and refreshing. And I think it works because of the humor, because of the bumbling nature of these characters, that these villains aren't masterminds. I don't think this would work with, you know, the Joker or somebody who is.
I think it could, but it'd work in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, because these guys are lower tier villains.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the charm.
If you were to do it with the Batman villains, it would have to be a little bit of the infighting amongst them, with them continuing knocking each other down. Whereas this group of villains doesn't need that. The other group of villains I think is ripe for a series is the Rogues Gallery for the Flash. I mean, they're essentially kind of a team anyways. But I think most of the other heroes and stuff that have a rogues gallery that associates with one another, like Spider-Man's, like Batman's, like the Flash's and some others, this is a great concept. You know, it's a little bit of a hard sell because by and large, these guys have to lose all the time. But that doesn't mean they can't be interesting and can't have little wins to make up for the big losses they're going to have against the heroes. You know, in showing how they are just doomed to failure because of their inherent personalities and such, that can be a lot of fun. The other thing I want to point out about this title and this issue in particular, there's a lot that happens in this issue, and some of these pages are just packed with panels. There is just so much going on, particularly like with Overdrive and the Beetle. Some of those pages have like a dozen panels or more. And they do it with, I mean, obviously they're smallish panels, but it doesn't feel crowded. It doesn't feel like, wow, they crammed too much in. It's just they had a lot of story to tell, so they told it.
Yeah, the Steve Lieber issues are really the standout issues. He does some amazing stuff with this. I'm glad he's back on this book. I think he took a little break. We had some filler artists for a while, and it's nice to see him back on this book again.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is a very solid 4 out of 5. I want to see it continue again with the sales. I don't think the market's behind it, so I don't know how much longer it's going to last.
Yep, real high 4 out of 5 for me. Really good book. Love it. It's a top-of-the-stack read for me every issue.
And I'm glad it's not getting canceled yet. Again, I had just thought because I hadn't seen a solicit for the next one.
That say penultimate.
Well, they fooled me. Shall we move on to our other book of the week?
Yeah.
This is Genius Number 1. Now, before we talk about this, did you read the pilot season issue that came out like 6 years ago?
No.
All right. That's going to color, I think, your perception of this. I did. I remember it as being a really good pilot season and one that should have gone to miniseries much sooner. And the first page pretty much recaps that issue. What did you think of this, what was essentially a second issue, but billed as a first? How did it work for you?
Worked fine. I thought it was well done. I like the fact that it's a different, not what I was expecting.
What were you expecting?
I don't know. All I knew was the title. I didn't know anything about it. This was something I'm reading for the show, and wasn't something that I had even on my radar. So it's really nice just when you find something like that, and it's a pleasant surprise. I like to discover things like that. And it's cool to have a female African-American character that, you know, really defies the conventions of every, you know, movie from Boys in the Hood, you know, up in those genre of movies. You know, the female characters never get this kind of screen time and are never this strong in these type of stories of gangs and things like that. So I thought this was really cool and a nice way to flip it. Mm-hmm. And it worked. It did. So far, it's really rang true. It doesn't feel forced at all. It's a really good book.
It's an excellent book. I'm really glad that the lack of having read the pilot season issue didn't negatively impact it for you, because I was reading this pretty much, you know, remembering the highlights of that. And of course, they recapped it, and that was nice. But having just read this, it's like I want to reread that first issue that came out, to that pilot issue, you know, back in, you know, June of 2008. And
yeah, I want to read it now too.
It's well worth getting because it really sets up the concept where Destiny here essentially declares war on the LAPD. And this issue goes into how she's united the gangs of this section of LA and kind of how the ongoing war effort is going. And the concept is just, on the one hand, almost ridiculous. On the other hand, it's brilliant, you know. It's one of those kind of unthinkable things until it's been thought. And the execution of this is just really well done. She's believable how she got into where she is, why she's doing what she's doing, and that she could actually cause a serious problem for the LAPD in this. It's also nice that it's one of those things that it's not a blueprint for somebody to go do this in real life either. I don't think somebody could manage to pull this off, even though they make it seem very believable here. And this is something that really should have gone to series sooner. And I would love to see this translated into a television series or movie.
It feels super cinematic. This first issue feels very cinematic. And I could see a John Singleton taking this and running with it and really doing something amazing with this story. So far so good. I mean, I'm only an issue in and I haven't read the precursor stuff, but I mean, I love just a little bit we got with her in school, young, and meeting some of the characters that she would grow up with and how smart she was and how she had to kind of dumb herself down to hang in that environment. I love that stuff. And it was just touched on. So I'm kind of hopeful that maybe that 2008 issue might have a little bit more of that. Maybe I can, I'll get a little bit more of that if I go back and look that up.
I think it did. I'm trying to remember again. I read it when it came out 6 years ago.
So there's a lot of good stuff there that would be an awesome on the screen as well.
Yeah.
And let alone the way she brought all the gangs together and kind of took over and put herself in charge. And I thought that was really well done. And we've got four more and we don't have to wait very long for them.
Yeah. Which is good, but it's a shame it took them so long to get this out. You know, I don't know what the holdup was, but I'm glad it is finally out. I'm looking forward to the other four issues, and I do want to see this move forward beyond just that. You know, be it TV, movie, whatever.
Yeah, I love that idea. What do you think made them want to do a weekly solicitation cycle like that? I mean, what do you think the sales are even going to be for this?
I think the sales are going to be okay, but not great. And I say okay in terms of non-Marvel DC numbers. This is something that I expect the five issues to cluster pretty tightly together, but it only did around 5,000 units for the pilot season issue. That was 5 years ago. So on the one hand, that may set a benchmark. It may not, because it's so long ago. And I think a number of readers are going to be of the mindset of, if they're doing it weekly, so I got to order them all before I get them,
yeah,
both readers and retailers, they're going to steer clear of it, which is a shame.
Well, why wouldn't you, though? Why wouldn't you just say, well, I'll just wait for the trade. The trade will be $9.99, or I can get, or I can order all five of these and, you know, and pay a lot more, significantly more for the single issues, or just wait 1 month more and get it in trade and save myself a bunch of cash. It makes no sense.
I'm not expecting the trade to be the $9.99. They usually do that for the first on an ongoing series. I'll be honest, I haven't really paid attention to how much they do for things that are collecting just mini series. I was thinking those are more the $14.99 or $19.99. So I'm expecting the trade to be at least $14.99, and I would expect it to include the pilot season issue. Which again goes towards, why not just wait for the trade for that matter, you know?
That's even more reason to. Yeah.
I think it's a mistake for them to have released it so quickly. I mean, on the one hand, I appreciate that they are, because it's going to really help the story momentum. But they were in a bad situation in terms of, you know, the other thing I think they should have done was, since it's been 6 years since the pilot season thing, periodically I'm getting these issues in with my comics that are just like a comic that's previewing what's going on at Image. They should have done the one when this was being solicited, and maybe they didn't, I just didn't notice, that contained the entire issue of the pilot season one. Because if I think they had done that and said, oh, by the way, the next five issues are all in the current previews, go order it now, that really would have helped. But I think retailers are going to order this based on how they think it can do, with a little bit of a drop-off between issues. It just comes down to, where does it start? Does it start well because people know of it from the pilot season, or not so well because they don't recall it from there, and the weekly frequency scares people off?
Yeah, I'm curious to what... I mean, because I don't think it's going to be driven by individuals as much as it's going to be driven by those stores that carry Image in the first place, and, you know, beyond the Saga and Walking Dead's. So, you know, that's a smaller percentage of stores, and how many of them are going to say, okay, I'll get all five of these and I'll get a significant number for my readership, for my pull list guys that they might be interested. And, I'm curious. I hope it does well, but, I'm cautious about how well it's going to sell.
I don't think any retailer is going to order this in significant numbers, which is a shame because it's great. But I think most stores are only going to have two, three copies at that. And some of those may go to pull list customers and not even make it on the shelf. And
yeah.
There's no incentive for them to order heavy on this because, like you said, the trade's not going to be that far away. So with the weekly release, the other question is, why didn't they just go to trade? But it allows them to double dip, etc. I get it. But they were in a bad spot because of that six-year delay. Any momentum that was built up by the pilot season, and I do think there was some, evaporated half a decade ago.
Yeah. I mean, I would have... It should have just been a five-issue mini, not listed as a mini, but, you know, and then they should have just released it a regular schedule. I just don't think a weekly works for something that's not an ongoing, at least for a significant number. Just a five-issue mini as a weekly doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, and particularly after a six-year delay from the pilot season. It's like, why the rush now? But, you know, we'll see how it does. I'm curious. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good read. I'm really interested in where it ends and if it's kind of, that's it, it's over, it's done, there is no more. Or could they go further with this? And I could see it going either way and being very satisfying.
Yeah, I mean, I love the, I think it's Afua Richardson art.
Mm-hmm.
Really good stuff. Adam Freeman is one of the writers. And who's the other? Mark Bernardin. They did a great job. Really felt realistic, and there was just a lot to like here. Good story, interesting characters, well drawn, you know. And I think this will be a fun story, a fun 5-issue story.
Yeah,
and it's a high 4 for me.
I really encourage getting the pilot season issue. I'm glad it read fine without it, but I think it adds a lot in terms of just setting stuff up.
If I can find it.
Try mycomicshop.com, and beyond that, I'm not... They did a pilot season trade for one of the years. I'm not sure if they did one for this one or not. I didn't think to go look, because somewhere I actually have the issue.
Yeah, there was another pilot season called Hardcore that was a really good issue that I liked, and nothing ever came of it. That's been a couple of years now.
Yeah. For me, also very high, 4 out of 5. The only serious complaint I've got is it took them too long to come out.
Yeah.
But they fixed that, so I'm good. So I am still trying to catch up on reading. I've gotten most of the week of the 9th done. I've made my way into the week of the 16th. I try to read stuff kind of chronologically just because that way I can usually read stories in order. That having been said, sometimes I do make mistakes and read things out of order. It happens. So for this week, the only 3 I've read are those 3. I am hoping to do a lot of reading between now and the time we record next time, and we'll see how caught up I get. How about you? Did you read anything of great interest?
Oh yeah. Well, standouts for me were Alex and Ada at number 8, Lazarus number 10.
I did read Alex and Ada. That was a good one. That continues to be a great series.
You know, and it's just so great the way it... You know, you don't move the needle too far in this story, but it doesn't feel like it's treading water. It examines these characters in such a way that it takes the time it needs to take, and it's just been wonderful. It's been a wonderful 8 issues, and
well, it's a character story, not a plot story. It's got plot. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but you don't need the plot to be moving at a blazing speed. You just really need to get sucked into this world, get to know these characters, their dilemma, their where they're at. And that character examination for these two is a lot of fun. So
definitely
recommend the title.
Yeah, Lazarus 10 is really strong. That Greg Rucka book continues to impress me every issue. They've gone to a 5-week shipping schedule so that they can keep it coming out consistently.
Cool.
Which I'm fine with that. I'm fine with 5 weeks. That's good. But it's really good, and we get introduced to yet another family in this dystopian future, and it's really cool stuff going on in there. And the Marvel side, I really enjoyed the last Warren Ellis Moon Knight, and sad to see him and Declan Shalvey leave the book. Anxious to see what Brian Wood does with it when he takes over. That was a really good issue, number 6. And, you know, Miles Morales, since we, you know, I started reading this when we read the 200th issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then I picked up the relaunch, and this has been a great read. I love this book.
Haven't read the latest issue, might even be one further behind, but what I've been reading, I've really been enjoying. It's actually been a lot better than I think the previous run had been.
I mean, he's
a fun character, and the story's moving a bit faster this time.
And then Superior Spider-Man 32 is back. Superior's back for a little bit. And this is pretty spoiler stuff, so I won't really tell you much about that.
No, don't spoil it at all. I haven't read it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to spoil it at all. So, but it's a nice, it kicks off the Spider-Verse stuff. So, and kind of tells you, it's neat how they shoehorn old Superior back in there.
Cool.
And cause I was kind of curious how they were going to do that.
I could see a couple of ways they could go from, you know, a parallel world, alternate timeline, whatever. And I could see some that would work well and some that would not. So I'm looking forward. I'm cautiously optimistic about the Spider-Verse stuff.
Yeah, it seems promising, according to the, you know, for this issue. I really thought it was well done, and I'm anxious to see where it goes now.
Cool.
Yeah, Batman Eternal still good. You know, that's still a good book, and a few others. Grayson 2, that was all right.
Read that one, enjoyed that one. Still a little puzzled as to if Spiral knows he was Nightwing or not. I'm thinking not, and that puzzles me. I don't know why they don't.
That code conversation with Batman was interesting, and kind of had left me with more questions than answers.
Yeah, it's a series that I think would translate very well to the TV screen, because it's now essentially a super spy film or series, you know, just like Alias, like Intelligence, like other ones we've had on TV. And I think you get the right lead for that, and it would go well, you know.
And then we have a nice new character in Amazing Spider-Man number 4. We get to spend some time with Silk, so that's really cool. And she looks like she's going to be a cool character.
Cool. Preview spotlight stuff. Online solicits are starting to come up as we record this. I've seen Dark Horse. I have not seen the other ones yet, so either by the time this episode goes up on Monday or shortly thereafter, we should see Marvel, DC, Image, and IDW popping up. And then, of course, the clips are going to be due on September 5th. So everybody send stuff in, and should be good. Anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
Hey, that'll do it for me.
Cool. Join us next time as we discuss New Suicide Squad number 2 from DC, Inhuman number 3 from Marvel, and Where is Jake Ellis number 4 from Image Comics. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.